Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We got this new thing and we have to use it all the time now. Some people are like, no, no. See, I had to do that. I hope there's no spelling mistakes on there, but you never know. They're like, yeah, there is. There's a spelling mistake. But there's an intended spelling mistake or an intended use of the word in a wrong way. As we go, okay, now that I have your attention. For some reason, I just felt like the last couple of days, and I don't know why this place is on my heart, but I feel like I have to pray for it publicly right now. And this might be something for somebody in this room. And it's kind of a weird thing, and I was in the middle of studying this message when this city got on my heart. And I don't know why, but I'm being faithful to the call that God has on me to call it out. And maybe somebody will be like, oh, that's for me, or that's why. In the prayer I have this morning is for the city of Manila in the Philippines. I don't know exactly why. It's not that I've never prayed for the Philippines before, but usually the Philippines and Manila is not on my radar when I'm praying because God has me on specific things I'm praying for. But Father God, whatever reason that is, whatever you're laying that on my heart this morning, I just thank you for that. And we just say, I pray for the peace over Manila right now, that people would come to you in a saving way, that they would hear your voice for the first time today, wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, that they would turn to you. Today is the day of salvation, Father God, and let them not harden their hearts as in the days of Pharaoh, but come to you and call upon your name and fall upon their knees, Father God, and cry out to you because you love them. And I just pray protection over that city right now in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for highlighting that to me. And if it's for somebody in this room that says, I pray for Manila all the time, that was for me. It was a confirmation that I'm still supposed to keep on praying for them. Well, there's your confirmation. Praying for them. Okay. Turn to the... Yeah, that was good. That was good. Turn to the person next to you and say, where's your Bible at? Where's your Bible at? You ain't gonna use mine, son. You got to get your own. You got to get that. You got to get it. Yeah, if you need one, see me. We can get you one. I don't want you to have the excuse, well, I didn't get no Bible because nobody told me about it and nobody gave me one, so I ain't got it. No, 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 no. We actually can get you something like that. it is so, so important that you have your own Bible. It is so important that each day you can go to God's Word for yourself to spend time with God and listen to the Word He's speaking to you. Because these words aren't they're not just words. They were, through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through a prophet or a person, wrote those words down. These are God's words to us, and they are precious. And we can't just take them for granted, because I feel sometimes we take them for granted because, I have a Bible here. I've got many Bibles at home, and there are many Bibles on the shelves. There's Bibles underneath our chairs. We can never take that for granted, because there are places in this world today where they can't have this. And if they are found out to have this, not good things. And we take it so lightly sometimes. Oh, maybe if we woke up and left our house without our cell phone, I don't care how far we are away from our house, we would contemplate, maybe I should go back and get my cell phone. I could be 50 miles away. I'd be like, maybe I should go get that beast. If we left our Bible home, we'd be like, oh, I left my Bible home. Well, okay. No, man. The words in here are more powerful than anything you'll ever hear over your cell phone. It'll change your life. There are life-changing events you can receive over your cell phone. But this will change your life. Please, please, please have a Bible. Woo! Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you. I thank you that I get to give this message. I thank you that, whoo, you are calling me up and calling me out and calling us all together, Father God. Thank you for this time. And God, I just asked, as I give this message, Father God, I give it the way you want me to give it, because it's not about me. It's all about you. And everything that is from me and is not from you, please let them never remember it. But everything that is from you, let them never, ever forget it. Please bless them with the ability to receive all that you have. Please give me the ability to give this message in the way you'd have me give it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Wow. Turning whole homes into whole homes. The missing piece. I have to admit, I love giving messages. And I have this cool voice today. Haley's like, you sound like Trace Adkins. I'm like, yes. I got this deep, cool voice. I know Trace Adkins songs, but they're probably not appropriate to sing in front of here. Though he's got some cool ones. But this message today, I have been so excited about giving this message. And I just wanted to do it justice, and I wanted to do it right. And I wanted to make sure that all that God had for me to give to you was given to you in the right way. And that I would hold nothing back that wasn't supposed to be held back, but not to go too far in a way that you miss the message. Because what I'm about to say is very important. And it's not to say that we haven't given important messages here, but if you can grasp what I'm about to talk about, and if you can just see a little bit, it'll change your life. It is so important, and it's going to bring our homes from whole homes, where there's holes in our ministries, or holes in our families, to whole homes, to being complete, so we can reach the world for Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Today's message topic is this. I want to tell you how to have a thriving home, but it's a secret. Oh, it's a secret. And the secret is this. The secret place. The secret place with God. And I was so excited about it because when I minister to people, a lot of the times when I'm ministering to them, God asked me to ask them, how are you in the secret place? What does the secret place look like to you? How much time are you spending in the secret place? And sometimes people are like, oh man, I'm spending a whole bunch of time. And the other times people are like, this must be quite a secret because I've never heard about it before. And that sometimes is what happens in a church environment. Sometimes people are so so acquainted with, oh, I know what the secret place is, and it's so precious to me, and I go there often. And then other people are like, secret place? What is he talking about, secret place? I've never heard of the secret place before in my entire life. And the thing with the secret place sometimes is we have an idea in our heads of what that is because that's what it has been for you. So for me to describe the secret place is coming from a place where I've experienced the secret place for myself. So as I read a definition of what I think it is, you may say, well, that's not the secret place for me. This is the secret place for what I've experienced. And this is where I come to. This is where I go to. This is where I experience God on this level of the secret place. So as I read what I've kind of defined the secret place is, please don't be like, well, this is not what it is because this pastor says this is this and this pastor says it is. This is just my humble thing of where I've experienced God in this secret place and what I've seen and what I've gathered and why it's so important. And if you could please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here we go. And this is how I wrote it down. The secret place. The place where we encounter God and He encounters us in the most intimate level. Where it's just me and him and me. And on you guys too, it's just you and him and you. A place where we get to hang out with God. And there's no agenda, but yet there is an agenda. A place where it's just, hang out. Where he reveals himself to us. And he shows us who we are been called to be. So he reveals himself, but he is also revealing us too. Where we grow and mature in our faith. That's why it's so important to grow a whole home. This is a piece that you need to have in your life. For it to be a well-winded home. This is not all that you need, but this is a big part of what you need. Because it does so much in this place with him. You, by yourself with him, changes everything. It's a place of rest and renewal. It's a place of peace and hope. Where you can pour out your souls before God. Yes, you can pour out your soul here, and that's awesome and great, but this is a place where it's just you and him, and you're pouring out everything. The thing that it reminds me of is when Hannah, before she had her son Samuel, she went to Shiloh, where the tabernacle, the tent of God was at the time, and she wanted so desperately to have a son. And she would go and pray each year. Then one year she just went there and it says that she poured her soul out before the Lord. And she thought she was there by herself, but Eli, the prophet, was sitting behind him, or the priest, and she saw him, or he saw her, and he's like, man, this woman is drunk. She is going crazy up there. And she goes, no, I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. The secret place is a place where we can pour out our souls before the Lord, where it's just him and you, you and him. The inner room or the secret place can be a physical place, and I've also seen it be a state of being. Like, I'm in the secret place right now. I am in communication with the Lord, saying and asking him things right now that you don't know about, you can't hear about. I am in front of all of you, but I am also in the secret place in commune with him. It's a God encounter at a moment's notice. Wherever, whenever, and however. Now let's get to how Jesus puts the secret place. We are in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read 5 and 6 right now. This is what Jesus says the secret place is. He's talking to his disciples, and he goes, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. And he's like, look at this, guys. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who sees in, who is in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So you're saying, Jesus just said that the secret place is in the inner room of your house. But does he mean that that's all that it is? Is it just a physical place? Because does that mean that I'm not in the secret room right now because I'm not in the inner place of my house? That's not what he's saying. He's saying it, but he's not saying it at the same time. It is and it isn't. It's both. It's both a physical thing and a state of being. And this is how we know. If we start chapter 6 at the very beginning, he says, at the very beginning of the first verse, we're going to read from 1 to 6 again. This is what he's encountering. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." So this is what he was saying. Now he's going to reiterate it a few different ways. He says, "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, who are in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing." I got that right this time. I always get messed up. "So when you're giving, it will be done in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Because when his disciples were around him, this is the context of the scripture as you read. That's why it's so important to get context when you're reading scripture. Why was he saying what he was saying to the people he was saying it to? Because there was a tendency back then of the Pharisees to do these things that Jesus is telling you to do in secret in front of everybody, because they wanted everybody to see them doing it. So they would stand up on the street corners or in the highest place of the synagogue, and they would say, "Oh God, look how awesome you are, and look how awesome I am for praying in front of you. Look how humble I am. Look how I do things. And you saw me when I came into the synagogue and I was putting my tithe and I was making sure everybody knew that I did it, because I am so good, because you are good, but I am so good." Jesus knew that his disciples saw the Pharisees do that. And that's the idea of what it meant to do the things he just talked about. But Jesus says that's not the way with him. When you give, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Don't make a show of it. It's not that you can't pray or give in front of people. That's not what he's saying. But when you do it to make a big deal of yourself, that's where it is wrong. Because we just prayed in front of everybody. I just prayed in front of everybody. But I wasn't doing it to make a big deal of myself. They were. And Jesus wanted to reiterate that with his disciples. When you spend time with the Lord, don't make a big deal of it in front of everybody else. But go to the secret place, to the inner room, where nobody else sees you. It is there where you see the Father who is in secret, and he sees the things of the secret. When you're not making a big deal of it, when you go into that place and you know it's just him there, thank you, Jesus. Time spent with God in the secret place unlocks the pieces of your life that will change you, your home, and more importantly, the world. That's why the secret place is so important. Because it's more than just you that is being changed. And the secret place can be somewhere else than just the inner room. It can be anywhere. But it's that point where you intentionally seek to be in God's presence, to encounter Him and be with Him so He can speak to you and you can praise and worship Him. Some of my favorite place to be in the inner room with God is on the back of a lawnmower. That's where my secret place tends to be. I'll be riding this lawnmower, going back and forth on a yard, back and forth on a yard. And I'll just be like, God, I just want to be with you. I want you to speak to me. And bam, there it is. So I'm cruising across these yards. And I'm looking down, and all of a sudden God's speaking to me, and all of a sudden I'm overcome by His presence, and I'm speaking to God, and He's speaking to me, and He's bringing peace to my heart, and He's just giving me messages, and He's doing all these things. It can be the same for you. But a lot of the times we don't experience it because we don't ask for it, we don't go there. And sometimes we don't go there because we didn't know there was a place to go. And sometimes we don't go there because we get too busy. And it hit me yesterday. I forgot even where I was. God is like, that's the place where I call you to pray with me. Just think of that. The secret place, this place of commune with God, is a place where He wants to come and meet with you and be with you so you guys can pray together. And He can reveal such awesome things. Whew. The secret place. Whew. Is the place where heroes of the Bible are made. Heroes of the Bible are made in the secret place where you commune with God. A few years ago, while I was on the back of a lawnmower, I needed to get this message for this men's meeting that we were having here. And as I was tooting along, God's like, I was like, God, I need to have a message for this men's meeting. And he makes me think of Joshua. And I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, Joshua, he went into the promised land. I got this. That's all men's messages are about, Joshua and the promised man. He's a hero. He's a warrior. He's awesome. I got this, God. And He goes, no. Joshua, yes. He's the man I want you to talk about. But when he went into the promised land, was not what made him the hero, was not what made him the man that he was. It says Joshua was a man, he was known to be in the tent of meetings. He wouldn't leave that place. It was there that he was changed to be the man that God called him to be. And we too, if we go to the secret place, if we yearn and seek it out, God can do great and mighty things in and through us, just like He did with Joshua. And I think sometimes, because of the situations we're in, that we believe those things can't happen, but it can. Yes, they can. 10, 15 years ago, when I was an upholsterer, I used to sit there and upholster furniture, and I used to listen to God's messages in my earphones, and I would praise and worship God, and I said, God, there's got to be more to this life than just being an upholsterer, because when I was listening to those messages, I would be like, I want to be this guy who I hear in my radio. I want to be giving these messages. I want to do this. That secret place there is what sparked a passion in my heart. I didn't even know I had until I was there to experience it. And it's the same for all of us. I don't want you guys to just go through life. I want you guys to experience God in the secret place so He can give you a passion to find out where He's called you to be, just like He did for me. And just like He did for the people of the Bible. Just like those guys. the outcomes of being in the secret place. Hearing God's voice. If you have trouble hearing God's voice, if you're like, Pastor Caleb, I don't even know if I've heard God's voice before. I don't even know what it sounds like. Well, it's a still small voice. Yeah, but I don't even know if I can hear him. Well, have you spent time in the secret place? I don't even know what a secret. Have you spent time alone with God in the secret place? You hear his voice. You trust his voice. It goes from, okay, God, I'm praying to you now to see if I should give $10 this week. And you think you hear a yes, and you do, and you give it, and you just feel blessed. To it progressively gets to a point where you can hear God do great and mighty things through you. It says in Jeremiah 33, ask of me, and I will tell you great and mighty things. You will just grow in your faith. You will grow into a trust of his voice where you know that you can hear him, and above a cacophony of other voices, people screaming and shouting, but you can hear his still small voice above it all and know that you know that you know that that's what you heard. So you can step in that and you can trust in it. Because as you grow in God, God may have you stand before kings. But you got to listen to his voice, to follow his voice, to put you in a position to do that. And I'm telling you, there have been people in this place who have stand before kings in their presence. Elizabeth Austin, kings in Africa, presidents around the world, people who have listened to God, who have spent time in the secret place. God is doing great and mighty things through their lives. And as you grow in your faith and trust in hearing his voice, he may ask you to do something crazy. This is what I got excited about. God, make me do something crazy. see, the thing is like the other night I was reading the prophets in like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and stuff. Sometimes God makes them guys do some crazy things. Like, he's like, what I want you to do is I want you to get naked. And then I want you to walk around with things strapped to your hands. Why, God? Why do you want me to do that? Well, because the people of Judah need to know how it's going to end for them if they don't turn their ways around. Well, God, can I just say that this is going to be happening? Trust me. You guys don't want me to do that. But I want to grow in enough faith where I have that trust in him. Where if I hear him say something like that, I know his voice so well, so clear, that I trust in that. That I would do it. But I hope that's not how it goes. But I would do it. So God asked the prophets to do some crazy things. Joshua, Jeremiah, Isaac, all those people, Daniel. And sometimes he asked us to do crazy things today. There are people all over the world that God is doing great and mighty things through. And one guy that comes to mind, his name is Eric Little. Some of you may know who this man was. Eric Little is the guy they made the movie Chariots of Fire about. And he was famous because he could run and sprint. He was Great Britain's great hope for the gold in the 100-meter dash. That was his thing. That's what he did good. And he was in this, and he made the team to be on the Olympic team to go to Paris in 1924. And he's like, I'm going to win, and I'm going to win. Then it came out that the trials in the race were on a Sunday. And he's like, no, that's the Sabbath. That's the day that God wants me to be only on him, concentrate on him. I'm not going to do this. And people started coming down on him. They're like, They're like, what are you doing? You're the hope of Great Britain to get the gold because you are the best in the world at what you do at this. We know you're going to get the gold if you race. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. That type of decision just doesn't come overnight. That's a life that's been spent in the secret place. That's a life that's been encountered with God, that is soaked in his presence, where he can stand before everybody in his nation and say, no, I am not going to do what you're pressuring me to do. I don't know what would be harder. Actually, I think I would say no to the nation than stand naked in front of you all. So doing something crazy for the Lord happens today too. Hearing his voice and trusting in it grows to where you can stand your ground. This is more applicable to us today. I know God's word because I've spent time with him in the secret place. I know God how I was supposed to act as a believer in Jesus. And he's talked to me and he's shown me things. So when I go to the board meeting tomorrow and they ask me to do something illegal, I'm going to say no, no matter what happens to me. I'm standing my ground because I can hear his voice and I know exactly what he wants me to do. And I can trust in that no matter what happens. Number two of the outcomes of spending time with God in the secret place is our trust in God grows, where the Bible becomes alive and what we read becomes more than just words on a page. They become the truth in our lives. Our words, our verses for this month in John chapter 14, I just want to read them quickly for you. I'm going to read them, and then I'm going to tell you something, why it is so important. Our main verse for this time is, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He will abide with us. He will be with us. And the other part, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And this is another one. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Sometimes we don't understand the power of what God has just said until we understand why he said it. He just got done telling his disciples, the people he loved in this world and those who loved him most, that he was going to be away from them now. He was going to go. He was going to die. Just think, if somebody that you hold precious to you is saying to you, I'm going to go, your heart would be broken. You would feel like your heart just got ripped out of your chest and you'd be numb. Somebody that you hold precious is saying, I'm not going to be with you anymore in the physical. But take heart. This is where the promise is. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That pain that you're feeling now, I'm promising you this. In the future, I am making a house for you so you can be with me forever. And even greater still, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. The thing that you're scared about is not going to happen. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. And as great as that is, because that is so awesome, the Father and me are going to abide with you. I'm going to be with you. I am not ever going to leave you. The time spent in the secret place, the time that you build your trust in the Lord, when he says those things, you can believe on it. You can count on it. This is more true than anything ever was. But it takes time in the secret place. It takes time in growing with him so that you can truly, truly, truly believe it, so that you know that it is the truth, that no matter what you face, God is with you. Amen. Trust in the Lord makes us mountain movers. The things that we read in the Bible, the things that he wants to do in and of our lives, makes us mountain movers. He's going to do great and mighty things in and through us. And just to keep on going really quick, Amos, he's got a book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He was just a sheep herder. He was just a sheep herder. But then God touched him, made him a prophet, and he spoke to nations. You may be a justa, or think you're a justa. Just like I thought I was just a lawnmower, I was just a this. You are more than that. When you spend time in the secret place, he will show you great and mighty things. You're not a justa. He's got great, awesome plans for you. And it takes going into the secret place to have him unlock that for you so that you go after it with your heart. It says you will find him if you seek him. If you go after him with all your heart, you will see him. And he will show you great and mighty things. But it just takes you to go do that. To say, I'm going to spend time with you, Lord. It's the time of the decision where I'm saying, I'm intending to spend my time with him and separating myself away from everything, that I can run to that when I need a place of refuge. I want to walk and rest to God in the times when I can do it on my own initiative to spend my time with him. I chose to do so. So in the times in my life when I can't choose and I need a place of refuge, I can run and seek that place of refuge in a time of need. The secret place can't be unfamiliar to you. You have to go and know it and be at peace there and be in there and dwell there. Amen. And one more place before we go, because I know we got to get out of here. But I don't want to because this is cool. You get clarity of calling. You do all these things. In the secret place is a place where you worship the Lord. You praise him. And you remember the things that he's done for you in the past. It's a place where you pray to him. It's a place where you listen to his voice. It's a place where you time spend in the word. It's a time where you spend in prayer in the spirit language. Ask us about that. We'll tell you. It's a time to journal. It's a time just to have time with God, just to spend with him. And it's a time and a place to have fun with God. In this last little story that I'm going to tell, this is the evidence of a man who spent time alone with the Lord and how his life has changed and what he's doing in this story now that he couldn't have done if he didn't have a time with God. This is Philippians chapter 1. This is Paul, whose life has been changed, whose life he has spent a long time with the Lord. And now he's telling a story to some of his friends from the city of Philippi. And it starts in verse 12 in the first chapter. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment... He's in prison. In the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. And that the most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. And the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not put to shame in anything, that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Wow. Imagine that. He's going through all these circumstances. He's in prison. People are making fun of him. Things are happening all around him. If his life hadn't been changed by his time in the secret place, that would have destroyed him. But it didn't. He was happy because of where he was, because people were hearing the gospel for the first time. And people who had heard the gospel were now strengthened by the circumstance that he was in. The most important thing about turning whole homes into whole homes is it doesn't end there. Our thing for this year was thriving homes transform cities. The secret place is like at the very core of how that is. It's the most personal thing, but it has the most public outcome. What you do in the secret place turns people's lives around for eternity in the world. God told us to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. That's for all of us. That's for all of us. And to do that starts in the secret place of the home. Thank you. Amen. Father God, I know you did things that I couldn't see today, and that you touched them in ways that I don't even know. And I pray right now for a clarity in the spirit, Father God, that they would be just touched right now, that they would want to be in the secret place, where they would yearn to be in the secret place with you, that they would have a special place in their house, in the physical, Father God, or wherever that is, and in a growing in a maturity, that they can be in the secret place wherever they're at a moment's notice. That they don't turn to it as a last resort, but they walk into it and they run to it as a place of peace and rest and a place of joy where they want to be. A place where they know what the secret place is for them and they experience it. And then they walk into it with you and they experience you most of all. Where they can worship you and praise you for all that you are and be changed in the secret place so they can change the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Ooh. Some of you don't know the secret place because you don't know the Father of the secret place. Today, that all can change. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Say, God, I don't even know much of what he talked about today, but I know that I need you and I want to know you and I want to get a place in this secret place with you. But it starts right here, right now, knowing you as my Savior. If you called upon his name for the first time this morning, let us know. And if you did and you're here in this building, let us know and go outside to the hub and get a Jesus journey. It puts you on the steps. It's a guide to knowing Jesus better, to knowing Jesus more. It puts you on a guide to letting us know more about you and to know you about us. You know more about us so you can take the next step in your faith with Jesus. If that's you today, let us know. Call upon his name. Find him in the secret place. Get refreshed, renewed, and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.